Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
I believe the Lord looks for a generation of complete surrender. A generation that will say, you can't mess up. I give myself away for anything. I give myself away. I give myself away. I say with everything I do, my brother, I give myself. Generation of the women singing, I give up. In position for God to do something incredible through this generation. I give up. The generation completely unafraid to lift up their voice. Say, I can't. God, we're not afraid. We have no fear. We say it. I can't. Thank you.
Goodness, and just faithfulness. Thank you. intentional. There's a saving. I know that I'm going to work it on my good. Yeah. Intentional. Never failing, I don't think I'm going to make it. And you're never failing, and I'm going to get it.
More. Thank you. Hallelujah. Tears falling this morning. Oh, I bless the name of the Lord Jesus for this morning. That the chains are falling. They are falling off of my heart, off of my mind, off of my soul. I hear the chains falling this morning. Glory to God. I'm excited. I am delighted. I'm going to get another Bluetooth up and see what we have here. Glory to God. We are excited. The Lord has given us another day. You know, every day is a gift from the Lord. And I just want to tell you all today, don't take it for granted. Don't take the day that he gives to you for granted. I'm not taking it for granted because I know it could have been the other way around. I'm going to try to set this Bluetooth and let me see here. Glory to God. Let me go back in here and try to, I'm trying to work this at a Bluetooth here and see what we have. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad. And I really thank the Lord for this day. I thank the Lord. He has called us in out of darkness. I'm trying to get these Bluetooth working here. And then we're going to go in today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. Let's make sure we got this. Let me get this one here off here first so we can go. Something is... Hallelujah, Jesus. So we are, as I said, we are grateful that the Lord has given us another day. You know, it could have been the way around. Sometimes we take the days that the Lord grants us with. I don't know if you all can hear me, but because I'm trying to get these Bluetooths together. Okay, looks like we're on. Cutting in and out. Yeah, sometimes we take the days for granted, you know, but when he give you a day and he bring you out of that sleep that you were in, you better give him praise because he's worthy. Somebody that was here last night, my family is going to a funeral today. Because a very good friend of the family, just the other day, they were all talking. And then they get a call that she crossed over. You know, it don't take no time. We take it lightly when God bless us with a day. And we just act like we're supposed to have that day. No, you don't supposed to. He just loved you enough to give you another day. Now, I want to talk today with you about there shall be joy unspeakable when Jesus returns. There shall be joy unspeakable when Jesus returns. And we have to prepare ourselves as the church for when Jesus returns. It's not a joke. Hallelujah. We have to be ready. The book of Revelation says, We are the bride and he's the bridegroom, and the bridegroom have to make herself ready. He didn't say in the book of Revelation that he was going to make the bride ready. And that's something that really, really caught my eyes. He didn't say he was going. He is all powerful, all known, and he loves his bride. He gave his life for the bride, but he's not going to get the bride ready. The bride got to get herself ready. The Bible says that we have to make ourselves ready to meet him. We got to have the right apparel on. This is what we must do. We must be ready. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let us be glad and rejoice. Revelation chapter 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Do you hear that? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We have to make ourselves ready. We are the bride. Hallelujah. And making yourself ready, you might have to let go of something and some people. You might have to separate yourself from some family members, from some friends, from some co-workers. Do you hear me this morning? Revelation chapter 19 and verses 9. He said, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, please, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, you know, sometimes we get so excited. And I'm watching last night. You know, I like to go on the internet and like to see things on YouTube. Because, you know, you get wisdom. Not wisdom, but you get knowledge, because wisdom comes from God. Nobody can give you wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. You can get some knowledge from people, but you get wisdom from God. The Bible says so. So last night I was looking at YouTube, and I was looking at this bishop that all of us know, very rich bishop. He's worth about $70 million, 70 or $75 million. And I was looking at this other bishop, and apparently they used to go back and forth to each other church, you know, go over there. He preached, he get $15,000, $20,000. Then he go over to the next church, and they give him $15,000 to $20,000. Well, the pastor, the bishop last night, he's a bishop too. And he said, look, I banned this bishop. I banned him from coming to our church because he has stepped into a realm of deception. He has stepped into a realm of uncleanness. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I was amazed because these two bishops, you all know them, they're big bishops. They are well known in the gospel arena, in the church arena. They are well known. But see how tricky the devil is. We start making ourselves ready for the bridegroom. And we think about making ourselves acceptable to the world system. Do you hear me today? We make ourselves acceptable to the world system, so we start doing things that please. The Bible says, I told you, he's not making us ready. He did what he was going to do for us at the cross. He died. He shed his blood. Paid the price that we owe that we could not own. Paid the debt that we owe. He did it at the cross. But now we have to live a lifestyle that pleases heaven. Do you hear me today? We have to live this lifestyle that pleases heaven. Don't matter what nobody is saying. I hope you can hear because I'm using different Bluetooth today. No, no, no. We got to live our life in a way that gives him glory, gives him honor. Some of my people said, well, that's a man of God over there. That's a woman of God. I tell you, they carry themselves a certain way. They treat people a certain way, you know. They begin to say that. What happened is that we have deviated from the path. We have stepped off of the path of righteousness, holiness. One preacher said yesterday, nobody's talking about holiness or righteousness or repent anymore. They're just preaching. They're just preaching and trying to put a whole lot of stuff on, a lot of icing on the cake. They're putting it, so when they're making some Kool-Aid sweet, they're making it sweet. So people say, well, Pastor, you're preaching real good. I don't care if somebody say you're preaching good or teaching well. All I want to do is know that the word that we release touch somebody's heart, to make them go back and open their Bible and say, yes, that was the word of God. That's the word of God. He's talking to me. You know, because the word is, all is not for me. But guess what? When I left yesterday and I was going through, he gave me the word. And I said, okay, Lord, let me just look at this word. And this is what he said to me. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. This is in Matthew chapter 10. He dropped this in my spirit, and I said, wow. He said, you got to get to a place where you love me more than everything else that's in the world. Even more than your life, your own life, you must love me more. Watch what he said. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. This is the NLT. He says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Do you know that? Do you hear that? Man, you got to get to that place that you're not worried about dying. Hallelujah, because you cannot live until you die. Hallelujah. I'm talking about eternal life. You cannot experience it. You cannot live it until you die. To this body, to this life that you have, this mindset that you have. The word Paul said, you need a new mind. You need a new mind. You need the mind of Christ. Stay in that page. Stay right there on that. Let's go over here. This is what he says. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Says we need to be transformed. We need a new mind. Our mind must be cleaned up from the bottom up. We can't just choose what we want to let go. We got to let go everything that does not give him glory. Every action, every word, every deed, we got to let go. Listen to what he says back in Matthew chapter 10. He says, verse 36, and we're going to come back now. He says, your enemies will be right in your own household. I look at that. This is coming up. I like how the NLT give you this. Because we don't see it. We don't take it. That your enemy could be in your household because you have made a decision to serve God with all that you have. Sometimes your husband says, your wife said, but don't give this, don't give that. Why are you giving so much? Why you got to give this? We got these bills. We got that. They don't understand that we have what we have because he made it possible for us to have it. So why not give it back to the working of that he needs done, the working of the kingdom? He says, listen. Anyone who receives you, receive me, verses 40. And anyone who receives me, receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like this. He said, if you give a cup of water, cold water, to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. We got some people that are coming over here, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, because they are going through some situations. I have been trying to reach me for a while, but I told them, I said, well, you know, I'm going through, but I'm going to come through. See, I didn't say I was stagnated. I said, I'm going through. See, you got to go through to get through. If you're standing in one place, you're not going to get where you need to go. You got to go through to get through. And so we scheduled, I called him day before yesterday, and I told him, well, we can get together on, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And then and I said, that's good. And then they finally go back and forth. So I said, well, horrible, next Sunday, the same time. I said, that's good, I'm here. I get home early from the church building. I get home. So, you know, you have to spend time with your brother and with your sister. You got to help them. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. If you want to experience this unspeakable joy that I'm talking about, it says, they shall be joy unspeakable when Jesus returns. We have to live this life to experience that joy. We sing that song, this joy, I have the world and give it to me. And the world can take it away. But what happened that you look like you've been a sour lemon? Your face looked like you suck on a sour lemon. And there's no joy inside your spirit. Hallelujah. Well, he says, when Jesus had finished his charge to his 12 disciples, chapter 11 of Matthew, we just did a few verses there from Chapter 10, we did verse 36 down to 42. And here we go into chapter 11. He said, when Jesus has given these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all that Jesus, the Messiah, was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we have been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Are you the one that's supposed to bring this peace, this joy that we are looking for, that we've been waiting for? Are you the one? See, you'll know that he's the one when he comes. He's going to be shining like the stars and the moon. Hallelujah. The glory that's going to be upon him. Because he's the sovereign Lord. Glory to God. We got to be ready and willing to wait. Do what he said to do. Prepare our minds and soul ready to meet him. It's got to be a change on the inside. We dressed up on the outside, look real fine. I like to see the people on Sunday morning or Saturday, whatever time they service. I like to see the people of God. But they dress so nice. Everybody got different color, different suit, different dress, different wigs, all this stuff. Fingernails done, everything is done up. Face fixed. Looking to show the pastor and the priest and the apostle and everybody. How good they look. And we forget about making. Because see, you got to do it. We just read that scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. We got to fix up the inside. You the bride. He's the groom. Even in the natural, the bridegroom don't make it. The bride, right? He is somewhere getting dressed. She is somewhere getting dressed. She's making herself ready. She probably has some bridesmaids that are taking care of her. She has people that are making sure that her nails are right, her toes are right, and her hair is right, that she has the veil on. All the stuff they're doing to her, making sure that her gown fits right and that her train is right. They're making sure that everything is right for when she walks down the aisle to meet her husband, the groom. We got to do the same thing in the natural. We got to do it ready, get everything ready for when he comes. And we meet him in the air. Hallelujah. We got to be ready. So here, John wants to know if he's the one. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. See, there's always something you got to look. People are watching you. They're watching me. They're watching us. They're watching the church of Jesus Christ. Well, I like to say the church of men because, you know, everybody says this is my church. They don't say the church of God. I'm just the watchman. Glory to God. 2010, when he gave us this ministry, and I always let it know, it's God's church. It's his ministry, not mine. I'm just a watchman. That's why I let people come on and preach, knowing they know they got a word inside them. I said, come on, give it to us. So he said, go tell John what you heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk. The lepers are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. It's happening. People are receiving joy. Can you imagine a crippled person haven't walked for a long time and they're touched by the power of God, Jesus Christ, and they begin to walk? Can you see the joy on their face? Joy unspeakable. A person is dumb, haven't spoken for a long time, and all of a sudden the tongue are uncleaved and they're able to speak to their parents. They're able to speak to their husband or to their wife or to their neighbor. Can you see the joy? Somebody haven't seen for a long time, have lost their sight, never seen at all, matter of fact. And all of a sudden, sight has been given to them. The joy unspeakable takes out. Somebody is filled with a disease that is eating their flesh. But one morning they wake up from sleep, and they realize that there's no more eating. But a matter of fact, everything is clean and like a baby's behind, smooth and soft. Can you see the joy? Hallelujah. The death here. The dead is raised. But you know all of this that you're looking at? He's done for all brothers and sisters to see what God is able to do. There's no rejoicing in heaven over that. The Bible says that the angels rejoice when a person repents and receives the gift of salvation, not when a person gets healed. They're rejoicing only when a person repents. They rejoice in heaven for that lost soul that has been found. This is why we try every time that we get a chance to do salvation, hoping that somebody would give their life to Christ and change, not just say a prayer or admit that they believe that Jesus died on the cross, but that they give their life to him completely. Say, well, yes, I'm convicted in my heart that I've been living in sin, and I want to experience that joy that you're talking about, that regardless of what's going on in your heart, you still have a desire to praise God. You know, when I told you that I went to the doctor. I stayed in the hospital on Monday night in a parcel in my body. All they was doing was looking at the valves on the heart. And something that's very important on the heart, they miss it. They call it the shutter or something. Two shutters, one that goes to the left carotid artery, and one goes to the right. And they open and close, open and close, open and close, open and close. And one of mine is just fluttering. It's not opening all the way. And the doctor told me, he said, Mr. Callie, he said, you know, everybody when they get to a certain age, don't care who we are, these shutters begin to act up. He said, it's not a problem, because we can fix it. Well, it means that, he said, we're going to give you some medication. We're going to put you on a medication that's going to take care of that. And when it really gets bad, we can go into your grinds, and we can fix it through there. We don't have to cut open your chest. I said, because, you know, first thing to do, you have to cut my chest open again. He said, no. But now I have to be on this special medication because it's pain. I tell you all everything. I don't have to tell you this, but I tell you. And I have to deal with that every single day. Every day. When the shutters start acting up, pain comes up my chest and goes down my left arm. I'm not going to get a stroke. But it let me know that things did not work. I gotta take this pill. They give me one pill that I take. I take this pill that I can sleep all through the night without the pain. The pain don't have to wake me, of course, that's what it was doing. But this is what happened. And I got joy with that because it says I can still continue to do what I'm doing for the kingdom. But right now I can't do no heavy work. He said, well, just let your body. He said, you're healing fine on the outside, but let the inside heal. We just talked about that yesterday, the apostle. Yeah, let the inside heal. He said, you're healing fine. But here, we're talking about when Jesus returns. When he returns, they're going to be joy unspeakable. And I'm hearing so many people saying that I'm going to heaven. And I know some people that are preaching, and they can preach me under the table. I mean, they can preach me under the table. I'm nothing concerned. I'm not really able to do the preaching and teaching like they do. I mean, they know how to put this stuff together. That, you know, they bring in the Hebrew, the Greek, and they know how to put it together. But, you know, when I take an assessment of their lifestyle, not that I'm any judge, but you can't help but see and hear. If your eyes are working and if your ears are working, you're going to see and hear. It doesn't make you a judge, but it makes you observant. I'm saying to myself, how these folks can say they're going to heaven? It's just like you said, man, I'm sober. But every time somebody sees you, you can't even keep your foot down on a straight line. You can't even walk a straight line, but you say, I'm sober. Well, I've been sober for so long. But when folk look at you, they say, oh, my Lord, there she go again. There he go again. He tore up from the floor. He said, tell him, tell John. God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. Yeah, look at that. It blessed me. Well, don't you want Jesus to talk to the angels about you? I would like to know they're having a conversation in heaven about me because my lifestyle, my ministry is glorifying God. Not blog talk, my ministry, my life, your ministry, your life is glorifying God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you glorifying God. Because people can tell the way they look, they come to your ministry, to the ministry that you are the angel of that house. And they can see that your lifestyle glorify God. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath or wind? He asked a question. Hallelujah! When people see us, they should see us as the strength of God in this era, in this earth realm. They should see us. One man was saying last night, said that, you know, we have given up and become soft and go into a dead sleep. He was talking about the church. He said the church has gone to sleep, and this is how we have got into the state that we are in the United States of America. Don't blame the Democrats. Don't blame the Republicans. We allow the homosexuals to come in and take over. We allow the lesbians to come and take over. We allow them to come in our schools, dress as drag queens and teaching our kids all that nastiness that we don't take a stand. Some people are taking a stand. But Christians should be going down to the school and picking in the school. Going down by the White House and Capitol Hill and picking in them. Letting them know that we don't want these people going into our schools that we're paying the taxes for. Going into our schools and teaching our kids. That's filth. You understand? But we sit back and say, well, I ain't worried about it. It's not my concern. Well, it's your concern. Look and see how much evil is in the earth right now. Just take a look. Because we sat and did nothing. Preacher said yesterday, the church needs to wake up from the deep sleep that the church is in. If we want to experience this joy of the Lord, we got to wake up from the deep sleep and begin to become a sacrifice unto the Lord and do what thus says the Lord. Don't stop trying to please the world. Stop trying to please this body, next body. I want to please my neighbor, so I'm not going to say anything. No, we got to wake up. Isaiah said, wake up, wake up. We're in a deep sleep. We have to take a stand for righteousness, for holiness. The enemy is coming in, and he's doing all types of stuff. Even up in the house, we saw it in the book of Job. But in that natural, not looking in the book, you can see the enemy up in the house, all the stuff that's going on. They are threatened, you know, shaking their stuff, playing the music from the world. How the dry ice with smoke coming up out the altar. It's in the house. And we dancing to it. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. It's good. Do you hear them singing? You see the dance? And we're in agreement with the devil. Here he says, glory to God, here in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 8 says, were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No. People with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. And he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. Jesus has called you and I, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the scripture sounds good. It sounds awesome. And we have told people that, yes, he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. But are you living in the light now? What is your life? What is your lifestyle? What is our lifestyle saying? Is it glorifying God? Are we in the light? Because if we are in the light, if we're living in the light, we ought to be leading some people out of darkness. That's our commission. Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. What was lost is in darkness. He came to give them light, let them experience the light. We are supposed to do the same exact thing. Let people look at us and see the light of God. He says, I tell you the truth. Of all who have ever lived, none greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Is greater than he is. This is why we got to reach out and touch somebody with the love of Christ. Let them experience the love of Christ. Don't touch them with judgment. your judgmental self. Looking at them thinking that you ordered that in the bag of chips or Pepsi-Cola. No. Look and see that they're somewhere where they need to receive Christ. You got them living on the inside because you said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says you are of God and children for you overcome them. For greater is he that's in you that's in the world. So as he's great inside of us, we ought to be sharing this greatness. We ought not be judging people and thinking like, oh, well, I got the light, so they don't have the light, so I'm better than they are. I got the joy of the Lord inside of me. I'm peaceful. Last night I was in so much pain, Apostle. I was in so much pain. Oh, Lord Jesus. I told him, I said, look, I said, Lord, if this is my time that you want me to come home, just take me home. I'm ready. But if you want me to stay here and continue doing what you call me to do, let me stay here. But I need you to heal me completely from the inside out. In a little while, he put me to sleep. Well, I got this one. I don't have any pain right now. And I didn't take any medication. I want to tell you something, that you got to live this life expecting to see Jesus so that you can experience that joy unspeakable. We experience it a little bit of it right now. But when he comes, that joy that the Bible talks about, joy unspeakable, full of glory, my God, is going to be something else. But we have to live again. One person said, well, I'm not concerned about that stuff because when I'm dead, I'm dead. Then I got news for you. It's more than that. Even as a person in the world, it's not over. When you're dead, it's not over. You're still going to have a second death. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says so. See? You never seen a person go to the penitentiary who commit murder or who have raped somebody without being judged and sentenced. You've never seen it. They may be in a holding cell. They're in a detention center at the police station. And then they move them to another place before they go to court. Then the judge has to sentence them. If he chooses to, because they had a good lawyer representing them, to give them a break, be lenient, some leniency, he can. But usually the judge going to sentence them. He's going to sentence them give them some time. I don't know. But Jesus wants us to walk in this thing and walk it out. Don't be afraid of anything. As the world go on, and as this United States begins to recuperate from all the stuff that's going on right now, it's going to get worse for us. Listen to me. You got to prepare the church. It's going to get worse for us before it gets better. But the great thing about it is that we know it's going to get better. Because when Jesus returns, we're going to experience that joy unspeakable for the glory. That's what I'm talking about today. People are going to come against the church, especially when you're professing that Jesus is Lord, that he was crucified, that he died, he was buried, and rose again. When you begin to speak about the blood that never lost its first effect, when you begin to preach about that, hallelujah, when you begin to preach about repentance and the kingdom, people are going to come against you. They preach you over there. They want to do everything to you. You see the man carried out the contract to stop the people from stealing water, the congregational members church college parking lot. The pastor tried to do that. He said to the people, he always said he's not afraid of dying. And one of the young men shot him in his mouth with a 9mm. I'm believing that the shot went all the way through because 9mm is a powerful gun. But he's recovering in the hospital. Didn't you? See, you have to be willing to die to live. I always say it all the time on Blog Talk. We have to be willing to die to live. You can't live until you die. Everybody want to go to heaven. Everybody tell you, brother, Minister Jones, they're going to heaven. They tell you, oh, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what anybody says. They tell that. It sounds real good. It's good to have that mindset that you're going to heaven. But you better live. You better live to live again. Hallelujah. When the people come against you because you're preaching truth and they want you to preach a lie, you have to be willing to take what they're doing. What he says, well, if they hit you on the left cheek, get in the right. Hallelujah. You got to be willing to give up everything that you have for the kingdom. We want to fight back. You're going to get a machete. You're going to get some type of firearm. I've seen the pastors now carrying knives on their side. We call it heat. They got heat on their side. They got heat in their house. Said, somebody come in my door, I'm going to blow them back out. The Bible said, thou shalt not kill. You need to put on the full armor. You need to pray. That's the last thing he said, pray without ceasing. We need a prayer. Why? Because prayer going to change the heart of the devil when the devil want to come and hurt you. That's why you ought to pray every morning. Pray every day before you leave home, pray. Pray when you're going back home, pray. Say, well, Jesus, let's go back in here and see what Jesus said. We're in chapter 11 of Matthew. We're talking about there shall be joy unspeakable when Jesus returns. Man, I want to see him. I don't know if I see him as a king or a judge. I don't know. I'd like to say that I'm living to see him as a king. Because everybody will see him. Even the people that live in a promiscuous lifestyle, listen to me, they're going to see him. Don't think that they're not going to see him. Everybody that go before the judge sees the judge. But you want to see him as a king. Because when you see him as a king, he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. How are you going to see him as a king? You got to live to see him as a king. You got to be obedient. We are giving big offerings. We are giving big tithes, everything that we can. We are doing everything in the church building, having the pastor. That's good. But what God is looking for from us is obedience. Obedience to the law. Obedience to the statutes. Obedience to the commandments. That's God's word. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. So when you obey the word, you obey God. That's what he wants more than anything in the world. That's number one priority for us, to obey God. And people are trying to draw you away to do stuff. Say, no, I can't do that. You got to say, no, I love you, brother. I love you, sister, but I can't do that. Because it wouldn't please God. Listen. Verse 12 says, and from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. In other words, the kingdom is suffering violence. Hallelujah. The kingdom is suffering violence. But the violence got to take it by force. We got to stand up for truth. Stop compromising God's word. Watering down God's word. It's like sweet Kool-Aid, like Kool-Aid. Cake is full of icing on top of it. That's how the word is to people. Oh, man. Oh, preacher, preach real good. Oh, yes. You know why? Because there's no conviction. You're not talking about fornication. You're not talking about adultery. We're not talking, oh, my God, about stealing and gambling and all this stuff. But you don't have to talk about all that stuff. You don't have to say the homosexual lesbian. You talk about sin. It covers everything. Sin, S-I-N, is very small. But just talk about sin. Sin will cover everything. Every area that God wants you to cover. Just don't say, so we got to stop sinning. We got to start walking holy. Doesn't matter what you have done before or what you're doing now today. Take it before the Lord and lay it at the foot of the altar. Lay it at the foot of the altar and see what God did do with it. He will change your life. He'll draw you into right standing with him. People are sitting in the, oh my God, I hear a preacher say last night, just come back to me. He said last night, big preacher too. He said that people sitting in the congregation right now, that's going to go to hell. Can you imagine sitting in that congregation and hear the pastor say that? People got mad, they ain't going back to church. I can't believe I'm going to church and I'm paying, giving my tithes and giving my offering, and pastor going to say that I'm going to hell from the church. And it's the truth. It's the truth, but nobody want to tell people the truth. You're willing to pacify them, give them a pacify like their babies, and let them go to hell right from God's house or from the house of me to tell them the truth. Pastor said, I said, well, I ain't cool. I said, man, I saw this the other day. I said that the other day. I had chills. Because folk don't want to tell us the truth. Don't want to tell the people the truth. You're giving them sugar water. Sugar water. No, you may put a little lemon in there and make some lemonade, but you're giving them sugar water. And God has said, no, you got to tell them the truth. You know Jesus. You see how Jesus tell them the truth. He told them so much because he the truth. But when he tell them this, guess what they did? They put him on the cross. They hung him on a cross. Listen. See, before John the Baptist came, all the prophets and the law of Moses look forward to the... You hear that? They look forward to this time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah. Talking about John the Baptist. But he is not physically, but he has the spirit of Elijah on him, John the Baptist. Jesus said that. The one the prophet said would come. Anyone who with ears to hear should listen and understand. To what can I compare this generation? It is like children playing in a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We play wedding songs, and you didn't dance. So we play funeral songs, and you didn't mourn. See, we got to get serious. We got to get serious about the life. We got to get serious about the word of God. Now you got to change your speech. In the building. You ought to tell the people, look, this is not my church. This is God's church. I'm just the angel of the house. I'm the watchman. I'm watching over your soul. So what I tell you, I'm telling you because I love you so much that I tell you the truth and not lie to you. And some of the people sitting in the congregation know when the preacher is lying. How do you know that the pastor? Because they study the word. They say the word. And they take notes. Preacher was saying a couple of weeks ago, tell the people, says, when you come to church, bring a notebook. People bring a cell phone. Nobody don't have a Bible. Well, you know the computer and the cell phone too. You know, I take computer, I take the hard copy. But he said, bring a note. So when you write, he said, make sure you have a notebook. Get a notepad so you can take the notes. And you write down the scripture so when you get home, you can look at the scriptures for yourself. People just want to hear the word. just want to hear you say something and make them feel good for that particular hour and a half. Then they go back to the same old self when they get home. You understand? They're not going home and spending time in the Word. Some people are, but not all of them. Some people have that desire to get closer to God. I want to be closer to Him. That's why I told him last night, you want to bring me home? Bring me home. Bring me home. Hallelujah. We got to get to this place in earth. I say it all the time. Man, I'm excited about God. I'm excited about God's people. I'm excited about the people that are lost because I'm hoping and praying in my heart that they will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be rejoicing when people get saved. We ought to be, excuse me, my sinuses are troubling me. We got to be excited, ought to be excited for people to receive the gift of salvation. All we want is a word, but it's more than a word. We must want to see people saved. I don't care if I know all the people in the congregation when I'm preaching in the house. I don't care if I know them all. I make an altar call. You know why? Because you don't know who's slipping. Backsliding is not a sudden thing. People don't just all of a sudden get up and backslide. It's slow. You never hear that sound slipping and sliding? Wait, they're slipping and sliding. Slowly, they backslide. They're dipping and diving and stuff, and they say, well, it's okay. Pastor don't worry about that. Pastor don't preach about that, so I'm okay. And eventually, there's no way around. It's too much going on. He said, well, I don't see Sister So-and-so at church. I don't see Brother So-and-so. What's going on? Well, you missed the whole thing. You missed the whole thing. Because if you were preaching that stuff that you need to preach, they will be convicted in their spirit, man. And know that they have to get to the altar and repent. And then we get so pious. Listen, I'm almost finished. We get so pious that we don't even want to kneel down at the altar. I'm talking about preachers. We don't even want to kneel down at the altar because we think that we arrived. There's an altar called. You should be the first one at the altar. Because I want the prayer to go over my body. Hallelujah. I want to go to the altar and kneel down and talk to God. That don't mean that you're full-blown in sin. But this thing that go on in your mind, in our minds, listen to me. I was praying to God last night to change my mind. Talking to him. Because truthfully, my mind go all kinds of places that it shouldn't go. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know about your mind. I just tell you about mine. My mind go all kinds of places. Sometimes it travels for thousands of miles. It travels for thousands of miles where it shouldn't be. I have to ask God to clean my mind. Lord, bring back my mind in line with your word. You got to get to a place where you know that you have not arrived. Don't fool yourself and go to hell. I'm telling you the truth. Don't fool yourself and go to hell. Repent. Ask God to come in and do a work on the inside. What David says, created me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit. Because David knew that he couldn't change his stuff. He knew he could renew his stuff. What he needed, it had to come from God. Hallelujah. So sometimes we just put our chest up. He says, for John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. See, if you're not doing the stuff that people are doing, and you seeking God with everything that's inside of you, they can call you a warlock. They can call you a witch. I had people back in 2011 here on Blog Talk with you. God is my judge. And we bought their dog food. But the light bill, the people, the family, our family, Blog Talk family, pay the light bill, the water bill, gas bill, buy the dog food. And the same people said that I was a warlock. That blood clot was not going to stand, Sergeant. The devil is a liar. You can't move blood clot with it, and you can't move me. Because this belongs to God. It don't belong to me. It don't belong to Nancy. It belongs to God. I don't know if the people that are in Campbell can tell you. I don't know if they're still alive today. They put them out for me, but I'm still here. I'm still here going through all type of stuff that's taking out people. That's taking people out of this world, but I'm still here in the world. Not perfect. Doing what God said to do. I'm still here in the world. He says, the Son of Man, on the other hand, sees and drinks, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. If you're living for God, if you're living for God, listen to me. If you are living for God and people coming against you, your actions going to speak. Hallelujah. It's going to tell who you are. It doesn't matter what they're saying about you, what they're calling you. What Jesus says. He says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. The Son of Man, on the other hand, this is the NLT, New Living Translation, sees and drinks. Hallelujah. And you say he is a glutton. Don't stop eating. And a drunkard. And a friend of tax collectors. And other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. Are you living? Are you walking in the wisdom of God? Because wisdom only comes from God. Don't come from nobody. The Bible says, a man lacks wisdom, let him go to God. Go to God. Don't come from man. Man will give you some understanding, a little bit of understanding. He explains some stuff to you. He'll tell you how to use the saw right, how to hammer a nail in a board. But God will show you the easy way. Wisdom. That's why I told you, when I got a master's degree in my field, you know, I go to places and they say, where's the stuff? I know when I was in Barbados in June, I took this electronic digital water heater for my sister. It's very small. It's in a suitcase. It's only like about 10 inches by 14 inches. It's all computerized. And my sister, because she had one of these little things, you know, they got them in Africa a lot in the hotels and stuff. It just fits right up top by the shower nozzle. It fits right up there, shower head. So I took that thing off and took the pipes loose. My sister was all messed up. She said, you come here to do this because, you know, wiring and everything got to go in there. I said, this is what I do for life. This is what I do for a living. God has given me this gift. See, when I was using cocaine, I lost a lot of stuff, homes and cars and everything. But I never lost the wisdom that God has given to me. Now, Satan couldn't take it away. He tried everything. He took my houses. He took my cars. You know, but he couldn't take the wisdom that God gave to me. And I put that thing up and wear it up. You just press a button. And you set your temperature up or down. Press a button, let a button go off or come on. You know, my sister's amazed. But she says, I don't know you do all this kind of stuff. I said, yeah, this way. God has given that to me. And I praise him and I glorify him. The other part of this text here talks about judgment for the believers. And Jesus' prayer for thanksgiving. See, he's not leaving you out there hanging on a limb. That's why we have to live the life that glorifies him. We have to prepare ourselves. This is what we are putting on, our wedding garments. When we are living a life that pleases him, our wedding garments, to make sure that your garment is clean. Hallelujah, not your nice suit that you bought from Macy's or Nordstrom. Inside, your spiritual garments. Make sure they're clean. Folk are being exposed now all over the world. All over the world. In Africa, a lot of people are being taken out. pastors and prophets for being warlocks, dibbing and dabbing in witchcraft, going down to the pool, going down to the lake, and going down to the river and to the ocean to talk to the marine spirit and the Kundalini spirit, because they want power. Power belongs to God. Hallelujah. But they want power. No, if God wants you to do something, he is going to initiate the power for that particular moment. But they want to push their chest up and say, oh, I'm doing this and do that. And they want to sit, claim they're doing all this to people. No. Let God have his way. You do what God says. Prepare yourself for his return. How you prepare yourself? By living according to his word. There's going to be attacks. I told you that early. There's going to be attacks that are going to come to you and to me, to us, to pull us off the path of righteousness. No, you got to say, not today, devil. Come tell him. When the devil wants you to fight with your husband, to fight with your wife, say, no, not today, devil. I'm not going to curse my husband out. I'm not going to curse my wife out. And the preacher called me and said, look, he said, Apostle, I'm cussing more than I ever cuss. The preacher says, I'm MF, and I'm VV and all that stuff. He says, I'm saying, because I allow the adversary, I allow the devil to come into my mind, and he took over control. I said, well, the same way you allow him in, you got to put him out. Put him out with the word of God. Repent and ask God. See, we talked about leaving your first love. We got to get back there. So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, begin to work through us. Don't just be a showmaker. Don't just put on a show. Be the star of the show. Be the star. Understand? Go on and you'll be the one that representing God, because you're not afraid. You're not ashamed of repenting. You're not ashamed of repenting. I go to the altar, man. It's an altar call. If I'm visiting, I go to the altar and say, God, just touch me. They said, why the apostle at the altar? Because I want more God, and I'm not perfect. He perfected me, the apostle told me this years ago. He's perfecting us. Each day he's perfecting us. He's getting us more and more like him. He's taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But you got to understand that. It's not a one-day thing. Hallelujah. That's why we got to get back to that place. Get down on your knees and talk to God. All we want to do is give me the microphone. I'm the preacher. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles, because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. See, this is the key. If we want to experience the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we got to repent. Don't act like you Big Jack. Don't act like you Big John, because you the preacher. Man, the life you saved may be your life. Because see, when we die from this world, there's another world we got to face. Revelation chapter 20 tells you about that life. Called the second death, the second resurrection. You got to face it. Don't care who you are. Unless you got caught up in the first resurrection. He said, blessed are those who be in the first resurrection. Repent. Don't feel you know it because you know some Greek, know some Latin, and you know how to put all the scriptures together. Don't feel that. Man, my mind go off sometime. Oh, Lord Jesus. I had to ask God. I said, God, you got to bring this back together. You got to pull it back, because it's going too far. You understand? He loves us enough to tell us the truth. He called some of them so-called preachers back in the Bible, he called them vipers and dogs. They knew the law, but they wouldn't live in the law. And it's like some of us. We know the Bible. Do you hear me? But it's hard to live it. Why you think all these preachers are coming down, they're homosexual and lesbians and all this kind of stuff? They know the word. They smoking marijuana, smoking cocaine, and starting cocaine, shooting heroin,
but didn't know the word. Because why? They wouldn't live the word. He watched a movie called The Rapture. And the preacher leads so many hundreds, if not thousands of people to the cross to meet Jesus. And when it was the morning, Sunday morning service, the preacher was preaching hard. Rapture took place. People started leaving their clothes and leaving their pocketbooks. And Rolex watches and all that stuff was on the floor. Preacher was standing on the altar. And the assistant pastor was crying. The man come and said, "Where's my wife?" The pastor said, "She's gone." He said, "Gone where?" "She been taken up to the Lord." He said, "How come I'm behind?" He bought pews in the church. His name was on the side on a copper plate or gold plate on the side of the pew. His name, his last name. But he was left behind. The pastor was standing on the altar with a microphone in his hand, weeping. Because he was preaching. And when people start popping out, just going up, he stopped preaching. Had the microphone in his hand. The man asked the preacher, "How come you still here? If everybody's being raptured," well, a lot of people have been raptured, a lot was left behind. Because everybody's not going. I want you to know that. In the church, everybody's saying, "Lord, Lord." And those that have money and have jobs that can give tithes and offerings and stuff to help the church, they're giving, but they're not going. We have to live again. It's simple as that. Live to live again. Live to live again means that I'm going to be obedient to God's word. I don't care what you do, what you say. I'm going to be obedient. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. But he's perfecting us. Every day he is making us a little better than yesterday, the day before. We got to allow him to work on us. And when conviction comes, let me tell you something. The pastor cried on there, on the altar. And when the man that his wife was going up asked why he not going, the pastor replied to the man. He says, "I'm guilty. I've taken so many people to the altar, to the cross, to meet Jesus." He said, "But I've never been there for myself." Can you imagine preaching the gospel, but you're not allowing the gospel to change you? People are hearing you and receiving what God is speaking through you and changing, but you're still stagnated. You're not changing because you wouldn't allow the gospel to do what only the gospel can do. The gospel is powerful. It's powerful. And when we allow it to work in us, it changes us. And I did a sermon some years ago called "Change People, Change People." When we begin to change, people around us change. Family members change. Friends change. Co-workers change. Because why? They see the light. Hallelujah. Like a preacher that called me and said that Holly was cussing and can't stop cussing. What happened? They allow somebody to come in and take control. They allow somebody to come and take their peace, take their joy. Excuse me. When you allow that, you're giving the devil a hand of your ministry. Remember, your ministry is your life. It is your lifestyle. Not the building, not the building, not the church building. You said that from me. No, that's not your ministry. You are the angel. You're the leader. You're the messenger of that ministry. But your ministry is your lifestyle. Because after you finish preaching about John the Baptist, and after you stop preaching about Elijah, and after you finish preaching about Jesus, now you got to start living. All that you preach about, you got to live the message that you preach about Jesus. The message that you preach about John the Baptist, now you got to live. Because why? People are watching. People are watching. The moment you step up, say, "Well," and after you mess up, you know the first thing to say, "Well, I thought he was a bishop. I thought he was an evangelist. I thought he was a minister." The same people that hear you or see you going to question your walk because you preach well. Oh, you was full of fire. but your lifestyle has no fire. It's burnout coals. Coals that are burnout, you got to put some lighter fuel or gasoline or kerosene on the coals to get them ignite. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to live this thing. That's why we pen all the time. Come on, let me tell you something. There's so much stuff. If I tell you the stuff that comes after me, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed. And sometime apostle, you know, I help women. I help men, you know, husband and wife and stuff. We do. Because when we do it together. And I help them financially. Simple. And sometimes, you know what, I have to break up and say, look, I'm just helping you because God told us that this is what we're supposed to do. I said, but we can't have no connection. You understand? And they're trying to say things on the computer or on the phone, you know, and you had to shut it down. Why? You have to shut it down because that's attacking your ministry. How do you think, I'm going to hook up with him. I'm going to hook up with her. No, you're not hooking up with nobody. Shut it down. You will end up in hell preaching for 40 years, 50 years, and then end up in hell, bust hell wide open. You got to shut it down. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, we pray that we have said something by the Spirit, to the Spirit, that somebody will receive something. They know that we are not just shouting. We are not just blowing off steam. But Lord, we are trying to reach hearts. And we are trying to rekindle fire. Fire in the hearts of the men and women of God that hear the word. That they make decisions to allow you, oh God, to rekindle the fire in their lives. That they might live the life that gives glory to you, Lord. We pray today, oh God, for every lost person today that is out there in computer land. We pray as they hear this word, that Father, that they would allow you to prepare them for the return of Jesus, that they would experience the joy unspeakable. Because when he comes, he will give us this joy that we wouldn't have to worry anymore. We know that we can step into his peace, into his joy, experience his laughter, rejoice like the angels in heaven, oh God. So if you're out there today, I'm just going to do this short today. And you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this time just to repent. And repenting just means that you got to a place now that you can tell the Lord that you're sorry. Yeah, you don't, the pastor don't have to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. I can't repent for you. You have to repent for yourself. Okay? So, Peter says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2 and 38. The Bible says, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. And John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. You know, people, they come out at nighttime. We usually say the ghosts and the goblins comes out at night. So be careful. When we were back in the country, he used to say that. So be careful while you're out there browsing around. You may run into a demon, to a goblin. Yes, be careful. Hallelujah.
If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible said it very clear. Hallelujah. Very, very clear. Only Jesus has the power and the authority to forgive your sins and save your soul. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only one. So, no matter how people you're hearing some of these highfalutin preachers are telling that, there's more other ways, you know, to God than Jesus. They're saying that stuff. Don't let them fool you with that stuff. There's only one way. The apostle tell you that, and the apostle know because they've been with him. They was instructed what to say and what to do. Don't let these highfalutin preachers, because they look good, they got Rolls Royce, they got their own jets, they got their own yachts, and all that stuff. Don't be moved by that stuff. All that stuff will be left behind, okay? He said, go, the strength in the things which remain. We read that in Revelation. He said, strengthen the things that still remain. Okay? So strengthen your spirit. Strengthen your soul. Strengthen your mind. Get your mind right with Christ. If you don't know him today, I would love you to repent. Tell God that you're sorry. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Tell God you are sorry. This sorry is not coming from the top of your head. You understand? It got to come out of your soul, out of your heart. Because people say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down to the peep show anymore. I'm not going to go down to the streets and pick up any drag queen anymore. I'm not going to pick up any prostitutes. You know, we say all that. I'm not going to gamble anymore. I'm not going to get high anymore, Lord. I repent for getting high. They ain't had no money. I said that so many times. I tell the truth. I used to say, I'm not going to get high anymore because I was broke. I was broke. But so I can laugh at it now. But as soon as I get a job, as soon as I get a few dollars enough, I go down to the man and get high. But you have to mean exactly what you're saying. God is taking the word, every word, and it's being written down next to your name in heaven. You have to really mean what you say, what you mean, and mean what you say. If you're repenting, you turn away from that sin that kept you away from God. You know, God was there all the time. He never, you know, he was always there watching over that soul. He's there. I hear people say, I remember when I found God, God was never lost. You were lost. I was lost. And he came into darkness, into full-blown darkness, to draw you out, to draw me out. This is what he did, because he loved us that much. So if you repent, it means that you're turning away from sin, or you will turn away, but you ought to be turning away from sin and turning to the righteousness of who God said you should be. You start now studying the word, because the Bible says you've got to study yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth, the word of God. So you have to get this inside of your belly. It's got to be in your belly. You know, we say belly, but David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. You got to get it on the inside. And then I want you to denounce Satan. You need to denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system, all the things that have you in captivity, all the things that kept you away from God, you need to denounce. You need to let go. I'm still letting go stuff. You say, well, you've been preaching, you've been in this stuff for so many years. I'm still letting go stuff. I'm still letting go stuff. And then some stuff try to come back. I'm still stopping it. Blocking it with the blood of Jesus. You understand what I'm telling you? Because even though you're teaching and preaching, that devil still bring up some stuff. He'll bring back up some stuff. He wants you to regurgitate some stuff. He wants you to go into, I call it the old rusty sieve. You know, where you have everything that puts stuff in the old rusty sieve. and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. He wants you to go back to that old safe and pull it up. But you got to say no. No in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So we are. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Then we're going to open the line. So, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents in the world system. I believe, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him will not be ashamed. That talk of believe on Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you will not be ashamed. The enemy will not be able to shame you. He going to try, though. So say, Lord Jesus, I believe in the finished work of the cross. I believe that you gave your life so that I might have life. So today, Lord Jesus, I am surrendering my life to you. And I'm asking you to come into my heart. My heart is open, inviting you to come in. Be the God of my salvation. Be the righteousness of my soul. I accept you now, Lord Jesus, as my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord, and my soon coming King. If you just said that and you believe what you said with your mouth, according to Romans chapter 10, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Like we always go back through these books. Because this is where the information is that help us to walk that straight and narrow path. Start to study the Word of God and invite the Holy Ghost. Because none of us know it all, but he knows it all. And he's the greatest teacher. The Bible says so. He's the greatest teacher. He will teach you. He will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher and tell him you received the gift of salvation, but you want to get baptized in Jesus' name. Some preachers might say, no, they don't baptize you. They baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't get mad and call the pastor and tell him, and start fussing at the pastor. Because, you know, people do that. Don't do that. Leave the bridge standing. You know, a lot of people burn the bridge, and when you go, they have to go back. There's no bridge. So leave the bridge standing, because who knows if that pastor may retire or he might get, they might reject the pastor. Pastor, there's some stuff, you know, pastors get fired too. You know, and they vote the pastor out. And you may be, you know, this is years. You may be teaching and preaching good, and people hear you preaching at some church and say, well, why don't we call up Pastor so-and-so or whatever, Elder so-and-so, whatever your title may be at that time. He got baptized over here, and he's doing well. Why don't we give him a chance as an interim pastor? You understand? But if you burn the bridge there, say, well, we don't want to deal with him, because you know where he got, man, he came to get baptized in pastor, then baptize him in Jesus' name. It's very disrespectful to the pastor, no? You understand? So don't burn your bridge. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Because you want a cloud of witnesses. You want people that will say, well, yeah, he gave his life to Christ. She gave his life to Christ. You understand? That's why you want. When we were in the world, we had witnesses. When we were doing all the crazy stuff, we had witnesses. No, you're not in the world. You're in the world, but not of the world. You're going to have your witnesses. And that day that you're going to get baptized, we call it the liquid grave. You're going in the liquid grave, declaring your life belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're going in that liquid grave, and everything that had you in bondage, you're leaving in that grave. You know. But when you come up out that grave, glory to God. The joy we were talking about, you experience a touch of that unspeakable joy. when I got baptized, I tell you, I can't tell you, but I ran off. I ran off. And when I came up out the water, and they said, leave me alone, leave me alone. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is dealing with him. I was speaking in tongues. I was crying. Everything was going on. But I was happy. Never had a spirit feeling like that before. And I can't, and I'm going to experience it since. I got to wait till Jesus comes in order to experience that joy, that kind of joy. So I thank God for each and every one of you all that received the gift of salvation. I hope, pray that you find a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Don't just be a spectator. Don't just go in and sit down, just want to get more word, want the pastor preach every Sunday. No, just make sure that you be a helper. I don't care what it is. I picked up the cigarette butts. I picked up the beer cans and bars from around the church building. I cleaned the bathroom when I first came in, you know, as an adult. I was, you know, I went to the church as a young boy, but I was going because my mama wanted me to go. I wasn't going because I wanted to go. All my ever relatives was going, so she wanted to make sure that somebody from our family was going to church, and I was the one that went in. But when I come to an adult, I want to do something in the kingdom, and that's why God is keeping me here now in this time. God bless you all. I love you like love you so much. So the line is open. If anybody wants to respond, you can. Minister James, just not James, Minister Jones just got off. He's always come on early, but he got off. The line is open.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Praise the Lord, Apostle. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Apostle. I hear you. I just walked away from the phone.
That's okay. I tell you, excuse me, that was an on-time message. Message of holiness, righteousness. I'm telling you, especially that portion when you begin to talk about the rapture or the great catching away. And that preacher ministering in the church and people names being on the pew and paying tithes and offerings and still wasn't living right and would live down here. And the man coming run to the church asking where his wife at, and his wife was gone. He was left down here. The preacher was left down here with the microphone still in his hand. Rolex white watches on the floor. Alligator, crocodile shoes, shell skin suits left behind. Lord have mercy. Boy, that's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome time. A blessed time for those whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life, but a dreadful time. I wouldn't be able to explain it, just use the word dreadful, but it'd be such way more worse than that. That's about the only word. I could say some other words, but it just wouldn't be described, the horror and the terrifying effect that it would be on the people that be left down here. Lord have mercy. And you said something else that was very, very profound. I've been knowing it for years, and I'm sure you've been knowing it for years too. But you talked about Matthew chapter 10 when you said that, you know, if people don't hate their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, houses, land, and this hate is not dealing with the hate as if you take a 9mm and shoot somebody down or the kind of hate you take a baseball bat and bust somebody's head wide open. But in comparison with the love of God and loving God, we have to love God the best, even more than we love ourselves. And that was so powerful. And you also said, and if we didn't love God more than everybody else, even ourselves, we would not be able to be his disciples, because the enemy would use that we love most whatever we love most, that's what the enemy would use against us to block us from being his disciples. Some people love their mother so much until, you know, they lose their salvation because somebody said something about their mother to take up, you know, for their mother, and sometimes their mother being already crossed over. But yet they go to one with the person, falling right into the trap of the devil. And because they love their mother more than they love God.
Mm-hmm.
I seen mm-hmm. one time when my mother was on her dying bed. She was in hospice. She was dying. She was on her last go round. And of course, I love my mother. But somebody said something about my mother and said something real nasty, real ugly, real bad about my mother. But they was trying to draw me out of my character. See, Satan was using them. So I looked beyond them, and I saw the spirit that was using them. That's why it's good to have the spirit of discernment. See,
Amen.
And you can't love nobody, not even your mother, not even your dying mother, more than you love God, because the enemy will use whatever he could use to try to get you to stumble or try to get you to fall. And so, you know, Jesus had that placed in the Bible. You know, holy men of God wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't write no scriptures, but he gave them the spirit to write what they wrote. And in order to clearly understand what is written, of course, we have to have the spirit in order for it to be opened up to our understanding to be opened up to the scriptures in that way. And so we have to have that spirit, or the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of discernment, so that we can see what the enemy is trying to trump up, see what the enemy is trying to, the traps that he set, so that we don't fall for them. But when somebody loves something, somebody, some object, or even money, more than they love God and they love money, then that is the root of all evil. And then then the devil will use whatever that thing is, whatever that person is, or whoever that person is, that the individual people are putting before God, and block them from coming to that place where they need to be at in God. See, and the devil know what to use against us, because we open up our mouths and we say things sometimes. And sometimes God allow even people that we love to be taken out of our lives because we love them more than we love God. Some people have lost all kinds of family members and friends and people that they love more than God. I had an auntie that my mother gave for one of her children, in other words, my sister, to my aunt to raise and to make her own, because she couldn't have children. And she loved my sister so much. She loved her more than God. She loved her so much until God allowed she herself to fall on top of my sister from a top step down to the ground. It was an accident. Fell on her, and a few minutes, maybe an hour or so later, my sister died in a taxi cab in my uncle's arm. My mother sitting in the back seat along with my uncle, with my daughter in his arms. And she died right in front of my mother and my uncle. And because my aunt loved her more than she loved God. We can't put nothing before God, because then God sometime will allow it to be taken from us, or he'll take it from us himself. can't put nothing before him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what he said. I am the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor worship them. And some people worship things, worship objects, worship people, worship children, worship mother, worship father, worship others more than they love God. See, and then that becomes an idol to them. He said, it's going to come a time when it's not going to be said that I'm the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. But it's going to come a time when he said that I'm the Lord thy God who have delivered thee out of the north country and from all around the world and other places where you've gone out from me and have been led into captivity. And now I'm opening a door for you to be drawn back to me. Glory to God. And we see that happening now in this day and time that we're living in. It's not only the children of Israel that need to be drawn back to God, but it's those that Jesus Christ coming to laid down his life for the Jew and for the Gentile, and many have gone astray, but yet still have time while the blood is running warm in their veins to come back to God before it's eternally too late, because he's married to the backslider. You was talking about the bride making herself ready. Glory to God. Can you imagine a bride making herself ready and going through the ceremony of being married, the husband's name called over her, in this case, Jesus' name being invoked over us in that water baptism, you understand, and how we let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, and folk go back out there in the world. Some will make it back, and some will not, because he is married to the backslider. But, of course, you know, there are some women that go from under their husband's covering and they go after other men, lovers, go after what the lovers have to offer them, the bling and all of these other things that the lovers have to offer them, and don't realize that they were better off with their husband, whose name they were called by. Well, Jesus is married to the backslider. And the backslider that come back to him, you understand, he got his arms open wide as though he's on that cross with his arms open. Whosoever will, let him come. But then there are those that rather pleasure more than godliness that don't come back in. And some even saying, well, I'm going to come back in one day, but I'm not ready yet. He ain't came back in all this time. You know, I got a little more time to play. I got a little more time to do what I'm doing out here. And then all of a sudden, they die the same hour or the same day that those words are coming out of their mouth. Lord, have mercy today. So it's perilous for us to procrastinate around with our soul, Apostle, because when the pale horse of death, that's that pale horse in Revelation chapter 6, when that pale horse began to gallop across the desert sands of time, and they kneel at anyone's door, they're not going to have no choice but to mount up and ride. Their time will be up. And if they don't have Jesus, it'll be not only a sad day, but if they go out into eternity, they'll suffer throughout eternity for a choice they decided to make to go away from Jesus. When they was there with him and then go away from him, just feeling that they wanted to go back and have a little more what they call fun in the world. Lord, have mercy today. What a sad choice to have made. But anyway, that was a powerful word, Apostle. So much was said about the preachers in the pulpit that was preaching the word and wasn't living what they were preaching, and others coming to Christ through what they preached, being delivered, being set free, because the word is the word, and it won't return void. It's already settled in heaven. It's going to accomplish what it's set forth to do, out to do. And even the preacher that's ministering, he's supposed to be the first partaker. But if he's not, and he don't live the life, and someone is sitting in the front of the church, women coming with the short dresses on, crossing their legs and uncrossing their legs, and some of them without underwear on, because they've been set there, sent there by the devil for the preacher to fall. And then he fall for that trap and start seeing them after the church, after everybody gone. He's giving them an assignment to be there while everybody gone so he could be there with them by himself. A lot of them is falling like that. The Holy Ghost revealed it to me through the scriptures. This is what was happening to, you know, different sons of the prophets in the scriptures. Instead of them living what they were supposed to live in, be living, they were having sex in the door of the temple, and some even around the altar. What a vicious way to cause God to become angry. And it's a sad thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Lord, have mercy. And but anyway, all that you ministered on today, Apostle, that God give us to preach, it's all in the scriptures. It's all in the scriptures, and it's sad. It's sad the choices that people are making and what profit it is for man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. And some are trading off their soul for liquor, for heroin. You said it today. Heroin and liquor for sex, for money, for so-called power. And it is power, but dirty power, like the politicians are doing. They'll do anything to be elected. And it's just so sad. But anyway, that's why we got to have our eyes on God and not on this world system. Because this world system is blinding the minds of so many people who's got their eyes on the system and not on God. The Bible says that the god of this world is over the system. You know, the dragon is giving the power to the system, the world system. And so the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, that we preach, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, being born again. Being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, repenting, getting the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, receiving the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. And there are so many gifts and fruit of the Spirit, not just the gift of tongues. But I say that to say this, that so many people don't have this thing like they should. And they are just a smokescreen. Come in church, camouflage, screaming and hollering, speaking in tongues, passing out on the floor, you know, just doing everything that they think that people going to be pleased to see them do. You know, some people speak in tongues because they hear other people speaking in tongues, so they try to outspeak each other with tongues. And they're just doing it because somebody else doing it. Not that they have this, the gift of the Holy Ghost or the power of the none of God. It's just a camouflage. And some of these churches you walk in, everybody's tongue is exactly the like. Everybody's speaking in tongues the same way. Lord have mercy today. I used to listen to one of the preachers come on radio, and he used to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And everybody in the church, the women and the men, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I say, Lord, have mercy. You know, everybody just is just a mimicking, but, you know, just to say, you know, I'm a part of this one ministry, you could tell because of the way I say hallelujah. But, Lord, have mercy. When it comes down to living, the lifestyle, and same ones when they're saying hallelujah with the long dresses on. You think if they got them long dresses on, it's hard to get under them dresses. It's hard to to have sex with them kind of people, the head all tied up, you know, looking so pious and looking so well-dressed, that they call holiness and what they call modest, and they look at somebody else, some other woman with a long dress on, but not all the way setting on the shoe, but setting up just a little bit above, you know, a little bit above the ankles there, about maybe halfway up, you know, from the ankle to the knee, about halfway up right there, the dress hanging about that long. They say, oh, your naked ankles is out. Your unsaved shoes is showing. Got sandals on your feet and got the back of your heel, got a shoes on with the toe out, and the back got a little strip across the back of the ankle, but the ankle out, got all of them unsaved shoes on. Well, I'd like to know, when did the shoes ever get saved? All these unsaved shoes on. And so if you're not lining up with what they call modest or what they call holiness, you know, woman's sleeves is down to her elbow, a little bit below the elbow, or right to the elbow. Look at that. Now you could tell they're not saved. You could tell they're just of the world. All of their naked arms out. Now wait a minute. All the way to the elbow. They see all their naked arms out. And then somebody that might have a dress on, it's hot out there, and they got a dress on. I'm not talking about so spaghetti to the point where, you know, everything's showing and the cleaver is showing. And I'm not talking about like that, but I'm talking about if the underarm is showing a little bit. Look at it, all under the arms showing, you know, unsaved. It's so sad that under the arms it's showing. Isn't that, well, wait a minute. If somebody get turned on by looking under somebody's home, where are their mind? Their mind got to be messed up. They got to be the ones that need to get saved. They need to save mind. They need the mind of Christ. When you start looking at somebody's shoes and saying the toe out or the heel out, telling people they ain't saved, something wrong with that picture. Glory to God. And so it's a time and it's a place for everything. You don't expect people to run around the park. You know, women, if they got jogging pants on, they're unsaved because they got pants on. Some of these jogging pants is very loose. Women comfortable. You know, now you got some women that wear these pants so tight, and the men too, even though it's a jogging suit. But it's, again, it's a time and a place for everything. I saw some people out at the park. I think it was either Arabs or they could have been Jews, but had these long dresses on, badly over their ankles, and they're out there jogging around the park. They're going to get exercise, but that's the way they dress, because they don't believe in wearing pants, some of these people. So they're out there at the park. They got to get exercise. They got their head tied up. You understand? Got this wrap around their head and this long dress on, out there running around the park. And I'm saying to myself, this to me, this is ridiculous. Running around the park like that, look like to me they should be in some type of jogging outfit, because it's a time and a place for everything. And so, you know, people just get bent all out of, you know, don't want to speak to people because they got dreadlocks. And Paul says it's a sham for a man to wear long hair. You know, or if a woman got short hair or even a bald head, it could be that she's got cancer. Could be that, you know, she had chemo and all her hair done fell out of her head. And maybe she don't want to put something on her head, and her head is bald. If she's comfortable with it, and her husband is comfortable with it, why should anybody else shun them for that reason? Or because the man hair is longer than hers? Why should they shun that couple? And so people that call themselves wanting to be so holy and become, next thing you know, they're holier than thou. They're so high-minded until they become so-called heavenly-minded till they know earthly good. And it's a sham because they're still here on earth. But people are so full of pride and don't want to speak to people, shun people, put people out the church, put them out because they're not dressed the way that they want them to dress and not smelling like they want them to smell. So it's a, you can't come. You got to go get a shower somewhere. But they don't offer them their shower. But they tell them, you got to go get a shower somewhere. You got to go change them nasty clothes you got on. You know, you women got pants on. You can't come in here with no pants on like that. Go home and get a dress. But they don't offer them their place to come take a shower, take a bath. You know, they don't have no job, you know. Don't take them and go buy them a few clothes. You don't have to buy them a whole plenty because if their mind have not been truly converted, you go buy them a whole pile of clothes and they come into church dressed up. And you may not see them no more because the rest of them clothes, they're gonna sell to get drugs and things. So you have to have an understanding of all of that. So you got to gradually give them things and what have you until they're weaned in and weaned from, you know, the hand of the devil, you know, into the hand of the Lord so that they can fully become saved. But people don't want to take time with people. They won't. You got some preachers that if somebody come in the congregation and they don't have a job and they're not dressed that nice and they don't have a great vocabulary, they'll tell them, go to the church down the street. Go to the church around the corner. Go to the church across town. You know, other words, go over there with sort of, in a sense, by your kind. And you have some, I would say, Caucasian churches. A black man walking there to get baptized. Oh, we can't baptize you. Why don't you go down by Bishop so-and-so, over by Pastor so-and-so? They'll baptize you over there. Why? Because they don't want other white people to see them baptizing somebody, even in Jesus' name. It's so sad because one of the brothers already been baptized, walked into a church like that, that was supposed to be a oneness church, but their heart wasn't right. Walked in there and said, listen, I'd like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And the pastor told him, well, look, why don't you go downstairs? I'm not downstairs, but why don't you go down the street to Reverend so-and-so a bishop so-and-so, an elder so-and-so, go over there by them, and I think it would be wise for you to go get baptized over there. Because he didn't want to baptize them in front of other white people who didn't like black people. Now, that's sad, to be in church and hate other people because of the color of their skin. As you were saying, I don't care how they preach, I don't care what they give, I don't care what kind of tithes that they're giving. They don't have no love. They don't have Christ. Because God is love. If they're not showing forth no love, ain't no God there. You understand? And it's best that they go somewhere else and get baptized. You understand? Or be, you know, or taught the word of God. You understand? And pay their tithes. Pay their tithes in a place where they're preaching the truth and living the truth and not just be a club for only whites. And it's a sad thing. But anyway, that was a powerful message to the apostle. I'm sure it's going to help a whole lot of people and in the name of Lord Jesus. And hopefully there are others on the line who are willing to come in and share. And to God be the glory. Back to you, apostle.
Thank you so much, apostle. That was a good one. Respond. You said so much, I tell you. It just add to the sermon. Appreciate you so much. Helping the people out there. Helping me too. you know, because when you share like that, it helps me, because you're adding to what God is saying. And that's what it needs, you know, it's strange. One time, and you brought me back when I was in Virginia, I had this Caucasian lady was my friend. She's an older lady. She's older than I am. But she loved me as a, she used to call me Reverend. And she loved me as a Reverend brother. She would introduce me to people as a Reverend brother. So she told me, I want you to go to this church, you know, because they need to have the Holy Ghost. She said, the pastor and his wife, they don't have the Holy Ghost. And I said, okay, well, let's go over there. So we went that Sunday. We decided, and it was like in a different county, you know. It was a good drive, too, to that county. Because I was in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia. That was in Manassas, Virginia. So we went over to that church, and, man, the worship was good. And the Holy Spirit began to move in that place. I mean, begin to move. And they called me up. So I went up. And as I went up, Holy Spirit started using me. And he began to speak to the people. And one lady was telling some other lady, she said, I never seen anything like that before. I never seen like that. I was just tipping some of the people with the tip of my finger. Some people I didn't even touch. Didn't even have to touch them. The Holy Ghost was leading them. So then the Holy Spirit called the pastor and his wife, and they came up to the altar. I asked them if they want to receive the Holy Ghost. And they said, well, they never received the Holy Ghost. I said, well, if you believe that he can come and fill you with his presence, he can. So I laid hands on both of them. And they both went down to the floor. I mean, went down to the floor. Just barely touched them. You know, didn't smack them or nothing like that or push them. Just barely touched them with the tip of my fingers. And all the congregation was looking like they were crazy. Said, this black man coming and put the pastor on his wife on the floor. I said, without me. It was the Spirit of God, you know. And they went out. The lady told me, she said, you know, she said, Reverend, you know, since you went over to Pastor So-and-so Church, it's been different over there. It's been there. I said, no, the Holy Ghost. The presence. Because you can't truly minister with no authority without the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to minister with some authority and with power. That's what Jesus said. When he called them, he gave them power and authority. You know, you got to have that power. You got to have authority. Even Peter, he was praying, he had received power, but he was praying for boldness to use the power and the authority. You know, so thank you so much, Apostle. You said a lot. God bless you. The line is open for anyone else that want to come on.
I wanted to add this too as well, Apostle. I went to a church one time as well, and the preacher had been came in from California, big name brand. Let me put it like that. You know, other words, popular, and big church in California, Camden, New Orleans. And he, because the pastor had invited him there, he thought that he was such a great teacher. But anyway, that man wasn't right, Apostle, because what he did, he got some of the members before church started, some of the members who came in, he said, now listen, when I call for an altar call, you all come up. He said, then I'm going to tell everybody to hold hands in a line straight across. Then I'm going to come by, and as I touch y'all, each one, touch, down the line, you know, that's the way y'all fall as I touch y'all, you know. And the whole line, Apostle, went down to the ground. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, he told a man, because this is the way that you pick up a greater offering, and this is how more people are going to come into the church and more people, because when people see things, you know, and had them set up that game, You know what I'm saying? And so that's just to show you. Now, not talking about, you know, what you did, because what you did, you barely touched them folk. Nobody pushed them down. None of that. And the Holy Ghost knocked them down from what I'm hearing, because you just touch somebody and not get knocked down like that. Then that's God knocking them down. You know, you barely touched them. You know, you got to put force behind something to knock somebody down. And you just barely touch them. But the way that he was doing, of course, when he touched one and that one, they're going to pull the other ones down. They're going to all get pulled down by the other one that's holding hands with them. And there's so many gimmicks that they got out there. And it's just so sad of the things that, you know, some people falling for and thing of. I was in one church, this is another church, another time, and the guy got up, big old guy, man, the guy must have was about 200, and he must have was about 6, I want to say 6'2", but he weighed about maybe 245, 250 pounds. He's a big guy, and he had to preach. He preached in a powerful message, but when he got ready to go out and lay hand on people, you know, you're laying hand on people, and the people are just falling out. And I didn't know he was pushing them people down. But a friend of mine who was standing in there, who was full of pride, he didn't want to fall down. You know, he wasn't going to be that nobody knock him down or nobody touch him and that he fall. And so he was sitting on the front pew. And, of course, he was standing at the time when the guy was going around laying hand on people. You know, people were standing up. And so the guy came to him and went to lay hand on him, and he was a big guy too. He was about 6'1", but he's nowhere heavy as that guy. He was about 6'1", but he couldn't have weighed no more than maybe a 100. He might have been 175 pounds or something, 80 pounds. And this big guy put his hand on his forehead and was trying to push him down, and he was trying to stand up. And Apostle, you should have saw it. He was trying to stand, and the guy was trying to push him down. So what happened was his legs started buckling him because of the strength and the power that this guy had that was pushing him. His legs started buckling, and by being by the front pew, you know, that means he was backed up into the front pew. Well, now he don't really have nothing to hold him up now, and the guy's still pushing him back, and he can't go back no farther. So down he went on the first pew, boom, and boy, it looked like the guy that was laying hand on him had so much authority, so much of power, and so. And the guy told me, he said, elder, I was an elder at that time, a young elder. He said, elder, I was trying to stand up. Man, that guy pushed me down like that. He was pushing everybody down. I said, Lord have mercy. Just wanted to make bleed head, and he was a big young guy. The guy must have not been the more. I'm talking about the one who was preaching. Must have been about 22 years old. You know, so at that age, that, you know, they want to make it look like it's all them and not God. You know, they want to make it look like it's God, but they want to really take the glory, take the credit about how powerful they are, you know, and pushing all them people down like that. And it's so sad. And other unlearned people who don't know no better, they think that's the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we have to have that spirit of discernment so that we can discern, you know, who's of God and who's not of God. You know, whether they pay tithes and offering, whether they give or whatever they do. You know, we have to have that spirit of discernment so that we could tell the difference between clean and unclean. They that serve God and they that serve him not. In Jesus' name, thank you, Apostle, for the time.
Amen. Yeah. I was pitching that guy, Bobby. You know, I was pitching him, Bobby.
Trying to stand up.
Trying to stand up. And I've seen a lot of preachers do that stuff. If you touch them one time and they don't fall out, as the Holy Spirit wants them to slay them, you don't touch them again. You don't touch them again. I've seen a guy, man, pushing him on the head, push him in the chest. And pushing them, and walking towards them, and the people trying to stand them, and pushing them. Man, they don't have to fall down for the Holy Ghost to do what he got to do. Sometimes he slays them.
That's right.
Sometimes he messes to them right standing on their feet.
That is so.
Yep. I told the people I was ministering in the church here in Boston, and everybody, some people was going down. The Holy Spirit was just saying something. I said, now listen, everybody not going to get slayed. I said, everybody not going to get slayed. The Holy Spirit knows who need more medicine. I said, he know who need more medicine. And some people got to go on the hospital bed and be out of surgery. I said, he know exactly who needs surgery. I said, sometimes he'll give you this, that aspirin or offensive that you need while you're standing up. That's all you need. But some people are so messed up, he got to put them on the floor. I call it the hospital bed, and he'll do surgery. I said, I don't push nobody. I said, let me tell you something. I don't push nobody. I barely touch you on your forehead with my fingers.
And guess what?
If he wants you down, he'll put you down.
And guess what? It's others now, and I know you know about this too, you know, because you've been around a long time. It's others that you barely touch them, and down on the floor they go because they feel the bleed. If they don't fall down, they haven't received nothing. You know,
right.
And I've seen where you go somewhere. Because look, I went with some to a tent revival with some friends of mine. And the evangelist barely touched them, and down on the floor they went. Boy, they was on the floor. Wasn't speaking in tongues or nothing, but just hit the floor. And was down on the floor, and then after so long, they got up. Now, after going home, now they went to boasting. Man, I received so much of power. When he touched me, and I went down, I'm telling you, I received the power.
Yeah.
I got the power. He figured he had the power because he fell out. You got that group like that. So the bishop that I was under, here in New Orleans, when he would go to lay a hand on people, he ministering to them, he's talking to them, and he's laying hand on them, but he want them to hear what he's saying while he's praying for them. Boom, they beat him, went down.
That's
on
right.
The floor. He told me, he said, get him up from there. Get him up. Then he tell him, listen, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. You need to hear what I'm saying to you, you know, because, see, he was discerning that some of them was just falling to be falling and thought that they was receiving so much of power because they fell. Now, there are others that he would say, you know, what you said a little bit earlier, you know, that someone said, you know, just leave them alone. The Holy Ghost is still dealing with them down there. Or even get down there with them and pray with them, you know, while they're on the floor, you know, and stuff like that. But it was something that he discerned, and he'll tell them, pick them up from there. Pick them up. He used to talk like that. Pick them up. Pick them up from there. Now, listen, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. And some of them, I mean, they became strong in that church, got delivered from all of them. Some of them were so full of witchcraft spirits till it was a shame. He used to tell some of them, say, listen, they done went to them two-headed people. Now, listen, they done made you worse than you was before you went there. All that stuff you got in your pocketbook. You say, you ain't got to tell me anything, man. You got all that stuff in your pocketbook. You see that window over there? That window got a garbage can right below it. Go to that window over there and empty all that out. All that you got in your pocketbook out. And the woman sure did. Went to there and just turned her pocketbook inside out and emptied it in the garbage can out there and wound up becoming a member there and began to be taught. And that lady came from a long ways, and I'm telling you, one of the best members in there, one of the most faithful members in there. Didn't hardly miss no churches. She must have had about 8 or 9 children. And she had all them children with her at church every Sunday. And she stayed in that church because she was gotten there before me. When I went to that church, I found her there. And she was a real, real great member in that church. Supported it, lived a clean life, lived a holy life. You know, she had come from a long, and I saw a lot of people coming there like that, get delivered. They was coming from all around the world. and all kind of things being cast out of them that was in them. One lady, he cast a snake out of her head. See, she had a snake in her head.
Wow.
And I believe the woman had a snake in her head. The reason why I say that, I was a young elder, and sometimes I used to lay hand with him. I used to be the one that, you know, anoint with the oil, and he would lay the hands, but he would tell me anoint them in their forehead in the name of the Lord Jesus. But he would be the one to lay hand on them, and sometimes he would tell me just lay hand when he lay hand. And a couple of young elders would lay hand along with him. And we were young elders. I must have had been in the ministry a long time, over 10 years at the time, but I still was a young elder. I had become an elder, you know, because I went from junior deacon, senior deacon, junior minister, senior minister, and then from minister to elder, and then from elder to bishop, you know, and of course now, you know, apostle. But I saw a lot of things happen. So as a young elder laying hands with him, and that lady was saying she had a snake in her head, and he laid his hand, anointed her with the oil. He prayed for her, oil that he had been blessed and all. And all of a sudden, the lady said, "It's gone." She was hearing it the whole while. She said, "It's gone." She got so excited, it was gone. And so I didn't really understand. But Apostle, when I got home that evening, all of a sudden, and this is the truth, God be my witness, inside of my head, I heard like a rattlesnake going off in my head. You know, in my head. And I said, "What is this?" I said, "Oh, my God, this must be what that woman was talking about." And I was a young elder now. And I kept praying, and I kept praying. And I remember, the apostle telling me, you know, he said, "Listen, you know, and when you lay hands with me, you got to remember, you can't be afraid of witchcraft. You are afraid of witchcraft, ain't nothing to you." He used to say that. And he said, "When you lay hands, you got to have this resistant faith, resisting. You know, anything that try to come at you, you got to resist it in the faith." When I got home, I kept resisting it for about 15 minutes or so. That thing was ringing in my head. And after that, boom, that's the way it went. Boom. You could feel it go. Never came back again. Those things are real, you know, Apostle?
Yes, they're real.
Real. Mm-hmm. And so I saw all kind of things. You know, some come in with complaining that they had alligators in their stomach. I've heard all that. Could the people who came through that ministry. But they were coming from all around the world. It was coming from the islands, you know, from Jamaica and from Panama and from, you know, over where you was from over there, Apostle, Barbados. Yeah. It was coming from all, I'm telling you, from Africa and from Canada. And you know, it was just coming from everywhere. Not only was Christians coming, Muslims was coming. And when they come in, I heard one Muslim say, "I don't believe the way that you believe. I don't believe in the God you believe in. The God that I believe in is Allah." He said, "But Allah sent me." I heard him say that to the pastor that I was under. He said, "Allah sent me here because Allah, you know, has people upon this planet that he's created and he's designed for certain purposes." And he said, you know, he's been bleeding from his backside. He's just been bleeding, and it won't stop. And he asked the bishop to lay hand on him and pray for him that the blood stop and that it go away. And, of course, bishop prayed for him and all. He never came back no more. So I'm thinking that he was healed, and hopefully that put something on his mind. And perhaps he got saved, if not under bishop, maybe somewhere else, you know, because the Bible said that miracle, signs, wonders, prophecy. Well, let me put it like this: prophecy is for the believers, and speaking in tongues it says the scripture says for unbelievers. It's a sign that when unbelievers see it causes them to believe. When they see something supernatural like that happen. Because that's how my sister came in one time. I had been next door to a house praying for a man that had a stroke. And that man got healed the same hour. His mouth was crooked. He was dragging his leg. His arm was tilted in and bent and all that. And this is the truth. I laid hand on him, giving God the glory, anointed him with some of the oil that I got from the bishop, and I prayed over the oil too and combined my faith with his faith. And one thing about me when I was young, and even now too, I just believed that God could do anything. And
right.
Laid hand on that man that night and told him if he would give his life to the Lord, you know, that God would heal him of that stroke. And he said, well, I'm ready. I'm ready, and from now on, not only am I going to give my life to the Lord, but I'm coming to church every Sunday. He talks from the side of his mouth like, because he had a stroke. Apostle, I laid hand on that man in the same night. It didn't take hours. It just straightened up. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that God performed. I used to see at that time, too. And that man started coming to church with me every Sunday. I went next door to tell my sister what had happened. And, you know, she was a believer, but, you know, she still was smoking and things. And her husband was smoking and things, too. When I came in there and I said what had happened next door and what have you, the cigarette he was smoking, he dropped it out of his hand. It like it jumped out of his hand, because after I mentioned that to him, giving God the glory, not no glory for myself, because I know it wasn't. I don't have that kind of power. You know, it's God. And this treasure we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God. It's not of us. It's God. And so what happens is, after I had told him about the miracle, right away I went off in tongues, because, you know, and when I went off in tongues, it's almost like somebody hit him and knocked the cigarette out of his hand. Knocked the cigarette. The cigarette fell on the floor, what he had. The cigarette that my sister had, she just took and put it down. Next thing I know, she was speaking in tongues along with me. And ever since then, she had started coming to church. And she died a member in my ministry after she had become about 80 years old or so. You know, her birthday is November the 1st. And she must have died about a day before her birthday or something like that. But anyway, that was my oldest sister, you know, so that's just a miracle that took place, you know what I'm saying? So we know that God is still in the miracle working business, you know. I had a conversation with another elder on yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, people being blind, about, you know, if you get in the pulpit, and you start talking about where God brought you from. This was his take on what he was saying. And you start talking about where God brought you from, and you start talking about how you used to run the women and how you used to do this and how you used to do that. But, you know, you don't do that no more. And you doing that right in front of your wife sitting in there, and you might have other pastors sitting in there and other people. You might call somebody to backslide. I said, well, I say, maybe if you got up there and you said it, you know, in a way of glorifying the devil. I said, but if you get up there and you say this as a testimony, because the Bible said that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, love not our lives in the debt. And you and your wife done talked about where you done been at in life. You know, you haven't hidden nothing from us. You haven't hidden nothing from you. Everything been laid on the table since you got married. You understand? This was a part of the counseling and all. You understand? And, you know, so when you say this, you're not putting her down to talk about other women that you were out with and did this with and did that. You testifying, and you saying that you're ashamed of the things that you've done and how many people lives that went shipwrecked because you was connected to them. And how many demons or generation of curses you might have been connected to, because each one of those women that you connected to, you also connected to, you know, the demons that they were connected to, because they might have had other partners besides you. And so, you know, and you tell, you know, you telling your testimony, you telling people, you know, you're ashamed of all that. and you're so glad that you didn't get sickness or disease that would have took you out of here or that would have killed you, you know, that's not something that would cause somebody to, you know, to backslide or to go back, you know, because their eyes was upon you. And then you telling them in the first place, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't have your eyes on me when you're looking at me to be your God. You understand what I'm saying? Because
right.
If you look at me to be your God, you understand, I could tell you right now, you done made me out of an island. That's not of God. You got
that's
to let
right.
the people know. You know what I'm saying? But now if you get up there
right.
boasting about all the women you done had and all this, you know, and trying to make yourself look big about you doing these, well, that's different. I say, I'm not talking like that. So I had to kind of
that's
straighten
right.
it. He was an elder, been an elder a long time. But I had to straighten him out concerning that. You know what I'm saying? Because he was looking at that the wrong way. You see? God is even married to
the
backslider. You know?
You share the testimony giving God glory. Somebody going to get delivered.
Somebody
going to get delivered. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Amen.
We thank God. Yeah, I know, you know, when we talking about this, you know, I remember some people, I'm sure you experienced it. Some people you're ministering to at the altar, and you're trying to tell them what you're hearing from the Lord for their life, and they start speaking in tongues. They start
right.
speaking in tongues.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know, I got to say, please, you got to shut up. Shut up. I tell
right,
the spirit,
right.
shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up because you're not hearing what God wants you to hear. They
exactly.
get them acting like they're so holy. They're so filled with the Holy Ghost, and God trying to talk to them, and they're going over you. They blah, 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 above you, you know?
Yes.
I said,
yeah,
shut up.
That
shut
lot,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People trying to talk over you, talk over the Holy Spirit, so they can't really hear. God trying to get them some instructions, and they're trying to, they're going speaking in tongues or they're praying out loud, you know? You know?
Yeah, somebody else is being loud also. You're right, somebody else being loud. You trying to get a word into somebody, and that is so loud that, you know, what you're saying, the person can't hear them because of how loud they are. Sometimes you got to tell
mm-hmm.
them, you know, shut up or calm it down. You know, you're too loud. You know, you're blocking what this person need to hear to be delivered, to be made free, you know. And, yeah, sometimes you got to tell people that's speaking in tongues, wait a minute. You got to wait till you get home. I mean, if you won't speak in tongues, wait till you get home or wait till one of these
right.
interpreters come up, you know, while you're speaking. If that interpreter don't rise up and, you know, and say what's being said so that the body of Christ could be edified, then you got to hold your peace. You can't keep talking. If you're not coming, you know. And then the first, you know, that's being led by the Spirit, perhaps you'll hold up, let them say what they have to say, and then go back to what you're doing, because God is not the author of confusion. But some of these
that's
people
right.
who are so
right.
unlearned, they'll get loud and try to rise
that's
up
right.
over what the Holy Ghost is doing, and now you got to correct them. You know, and sometimes you got to just correct them in front of all of the people. Now, you might get upset, but, you know, you got to tell them. You're right, Apostle. You're absolutely right. I mean, these things go on, and perhaps we're helping somebody who haven't been into this as long as what we are. I have been in it, you know.
Yes,
you know, we're helping somebody some way, you know. Because it goes on.
We thank God for you, Apostle. Thank God for Pastor Joyce. And I'm praying, kids, keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer. I still got a little something that I'm working with. And once I get over, okay, I'm going to get over, though. I'm going to get over. You know, I'm going to get over because God promised to bring me over. You know, I'm going to get over all this that's going on. And once I get over this, we're going to do some great ministry. God has a great plan. You know, and I was seeing this since last year that in maybe the sixth or seventh month of this year, we're going to see such a move of God all over this United States of America. So much presence of God because he's drawn his church to him. God is drawing his church to him. And you're going to see, you're going to hear, Pastor. Well, you're going to hear about the pastors and the apostles and bishops and stuff that really coming up to God, you know, seeking God with everything. It's going to happen. And he told me this last year, I give them, I shared on Blog Talk Radio, that this year, 6 or 7 months into this year, and I would listen to a pastor last night. It was on some revival thing over in Texas or something. A man was talking about, he's saying that he was talking about how the church is going to come alive, you know, because we have gotten to a place where we were satisfied with where we are. But that's not what God wants, you know. That's not what God wants. God wants us to really wake up and have others, you know. But we get to where we are comfortable because, you know, we say, well, I can pay for my car. Oh, I can pay my house. You know, I can pay my water bill like this. And I'm comfortable. I got a good job, but it's more than that. It's more than that, you know.
That's right.
We have to get up and we have to seek that lost soul, that is heading towards hell, you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Apostle, pray us out, Apostle. Brother Robert, you stay there with us. And they had a couple more people was on from Louisiana, but they jump off. Plus, Minister Jones, he was there too. Somebody from New York was on there too. We thank God, though. We thank God. You know, we thank God for all of them that come on and hear the word. You know.
Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, for at the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord, I thank you for this Blog Talk Radio on today and every day. And God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for those who have come to the line, those that were on the line, those that jumped off the line, but nevertheless, we don't know what the reason was. We don't know what they had to go do, but we pray that you have mercy upon them, and we thank you for what you're doing in their lives and the lives of their families as well. Lord, I lift up Apostle Callender, his wife and family, Lord. Pray that you touch him, that you heal him in his body, Lord. I heard him say earlier, oh God, that you were not only with him, but you were going through with him. You were going through with him to bring him through. But not only are you going through with him to bring him through, but you went through with him to bring him out. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord. And also that he says that you're doing in his life, I pray that you give him speedy recovery in that area, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from Nazareth, that you heal him. And not only heal him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, inside and outside, but also make him whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for doing it, Lord. He's doing a great work, Lord. And he's on that wall, and he's not coming down. So, Lord, I pray that you strengthen him, that you bless him, that you made him a watchman on the wall. You made us a watchman on the wall. And we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. And we thank you for covering us, oh God, helping us to cover one another. And thank you for covering us all. Thank you for the spirit of repentance, oh God, and the spirit of having mercy on one another and forgiveness. In the name of Lord Jesus, even forgiving ourselves, Lord, and we thank you for forgiving us all. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we pray that you bless us the way that you know how to bless us. Give us victory over the spirit of the devil in high places. Though you saw Satan fall like lightning, you've given us all powers over all of the powers of the devil, and nothing by any means should hurt us. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray that there be no retaliations of Satan. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the victory that you've given us in all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who strengthened us. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're not just rejoicing because we have power over the spirit of the devil, but we're rejoicing because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for longevity that has worked for us to do, Lord. Help us to get it done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for you dispatch powerful, powerful, powerful holy angels that never lost their first estate with you, God. Those that you've assigned to our lives before we come out of our mother's womb, those that you're assigning now in the name of the Lord Jesus. For there'll be more that's for us than against us. And thank you for making us more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who strengthened us. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and what you've done in our lives all these years, oh God. And this year, in 2024, Lord, this is going to be the greatest year we ever had. greatest year of wealth, riches, honor, glory, prosperity, good success, the greatest year of our walk with you, God, and your walk in us and through us. And we give you all the glory, the honor, the praise. We thank you for coming to maturity in us, God, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. For in you we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank you for being glorified in us daily. Do it for your glory, honor, and your praise. And we thank you for it, Lord. These blessings and other blessings we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you. And God give you grace and peace. We just thank God for you, Apostle. Thank God for Brother Robert. He's faithful every day he's here. We just thank God for him. Ask God to open doors for him that no one can close, and close doors that no one can open. Ask God to
order
your steps. Order your steps. Order your steps. We ask that God order your steps in the mighty name of Jesus, Brother Robert. Mark, we just pray, God, order your steps, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we know that God is doing a work. When he that begin a work is faithful. Faithful to complete it, so it's trust. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, Pastor Keeper, Pastor Washington, in prayer. I know she's going through with her knees and her eyes. You know, I can't imagine nobody have to get a needle put in their eyes. But, you know, she has to take injections in her eyes, and pray for her, you know, and keep them in prayer. And we keep each other in prayer. We love you, but remember, God loves you more. I'm going to go here and sit down with my baby now and talk with her. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Jesus' name.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Love you guys.